Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Oi, the boys and girls on Footy Prime on occasion are known to use vulgarities and frankly appalling language, and sometimes the tales can get quite adult in nature, so keep the volume down if there are kiddies around, and thank you for listening.
Oh, let's go!
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started.
Booty, booty,
it's time to get this party started. You know that we are the number one show. So grab your fucking mates and now it's time to go. Cause it's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. It's the
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started. With Danny, Jimmy, Gregor, Andy, Jimmy, JC. All we know and all we talk about is
booty booty.
It's time to get this party started tonight.
I think that
The
anthem's gonna play now. Now you're wide. Your diet's not working.
You make it this far keeping it simple, and then all of a sudden you start getting a little bit of success, and now you go,
and this microphone doesn't work.
Oh, look at that.
And then you're fucking it all up.
Sensor cleaning. Did you see that?
Sensor cleaning.
I need that in my life. Hey, have you guys noticed this week? My kids are so grumpy in the morning just because of the time change.
Really?
Oh, God. It's just an hour and they're a little bit older. It's not as bad as when they were little, but they're so miserable coming out of bed.
What about you, Chubbs? You've been pretty miserable lately.
Have I?
No.
I mean, I can be just like everybody, I think, but.
Look at Sharp, fucking Laurel and Hardy fucking TV podcast.
What is he right? doing?
Not only that, his shirt matches his couch. He's just a floating head.
That's right. We can fuck with it later, like when the queen wore that green dress and people put all kinds of shit on it. Can we do the same thing for Charms?
So is he just trying to set himself up on the couch?
So he did it.
Look how far the microphone goes.
Now what he's doing, you guys, it's the insidious crossing over and the bleeding of 442 into Footy Prime.
Yeah,
which he's been like, trying.
Oh, let's sit on couches and have a chat.
We can take that
from. Hey, Craig, I remember when Charms pitched 442 segment within Footy Prime and its infancy?
Really?
And we were like, I think that's too structured for us right now.
Yeah.
I'm surprised he hasn't raised the camera just a little bit more so he can see 442 above his head.
And not only that, his microphone's not on. Like, how far do you have to reach? No, you clicked off or something, Charms.
Look how long this arm is.
He's so pleased you said that.
Yeah.
What are we?
Yeah, how's that? Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. You know, I'm going to move this over here. Fuck this. Whoa. You know, you just try and make an effort to, like, you know, improve the, you know, the look and the appearance of.
Oh, there it is.
You know, of yourself. Doing
and yeah, of myself. Yeah, basically. And this is what happens. It was all working great yesterday when I was playing around with it. And so was the camera.
It's basically what happens to me when I'm on Google Meet and they're like, okay, Amy, can you share your screen? And I'm like, yep, I'm all set. I've done all the testing. It's like, you cannot share your screen. I'm like, I'm really sorry, guys.
I know.
I don't know what's fucking, going on here.
Fucking technology, eh?
Yeah.
It was looking so good yesterday. And all because of one little square on my face. And it all went to hell.
What was that on your face?
One square.
Oh,
there's a little square. What do you think I said?
I don't know.
Just you're really stretching there. You're stretching there. Hey, you're hosting today, Dubs.
I know. Maybe that's why there's these pregnant pauses. Everybody's waiting for me to take the wheel here. This is Footy Prime, the podcast, and I'm fucking hosting.
Did you guys see the NBC ratings for the Liverpool-Man City game? It broke all records.
Really?
Biggest audience ever in the United States, yeah.
For the Prem or for soccer?
For the Premier League, for a Liverpool-Man City game.
How did it compare to MLS?
MLS? They couldn't do any dream of 1.8 million for a
Was that what it was?
Yeah.
1.8 million, wow.
It'd be interesting to compare, though, say, like the finals or the one between the one that LAFC won 2 years ago. That
the last
final.
One.
Yeah, where Bale Apple. Scored the winner.
Before Apple.
Oh,
right,
yeah. Because
it's hard to tell with Apple, right?
Before Apple.
Yeah.
But maybe look it up, someone. I can do it because I'm not hosting.
Yeah.
Why aren't you hosting? What's going on?
I'm just because I'm just really extremely overwhelmed and busy this week. And Dubs stood into the breach and said, "You know what? I got your back, and I appreciate it." Why are you squinching your face there?
Because I don't want to stand in the breach.
Why not?
I don't know.
It's a nice place to stand.
Is it?
You got to stand somewhere. You may as well stand in the breach.
Okay.
You know, you can see out across the horizon on the ocean. Isn't that a naval expression?
Is it? Or so. navel gazing?
Should I look up what breach means or breach birth? Or should I look up MLS final numbers?
Yeah, look that up to compare or like the highest ever MLS viewership.
Charms doesn't look too stressed, does he, this morning, sitting on that couch?
No, it looks kind of comfy, actually. We made fun of him,
so
but it looks good.
Thank you.
It's better than your chair that was too short last week. That wasn't good.
I know. Am I delayed here a little bit? Obviously, but my actual video. Am I?
This guy's having a fucking nightmare this morning.
Keep talking.
We're going to get into it. So big roster drop yesterday. Bold decisions, people said, that Mauro Biello made in calling this roster or in building this roster that's going to face Trinidad and Tobago on the 23rd of March. Crucial matchup to determine whether or not Canada is involved in Copa America. So we're going to dive into that. There's lots of people who contributed, who chimed in on Twitter. Wonger is going to get us that. They're going to reach deep into his mail sack. But I started off saying, this is Footy Prime, the podcast. I'm Amy. We've got Sharms, who's looking comfy. We've got Forrest. We've got Wonger. And we've got Jimmy. And I believe JC will be hopping on shortly. So what do you guys think? This is the youngest squad since 2019. 22 of 23 players are under 30 years old. Oso is the only player who is above 30. Are these really bold moves, brash moves by the interim gaffer, or is this just what was needed a long time ago? What do you think, Forrest?
I think it's what's needed. I think you nailed it yesterday that I don't think it's all that bold. I think it's what's needed. I mean, Mauro discussed in the press conference about his need and his responsibility to push the younger players through. I mean, the goal really for the team isn't necessarily they want to get to Copa, of course, but that's not their goal. They've got to look to 26. And there's a few players, unfortunately, that are just at that age where they're not really going to feature in 26. So the ones that are, potentially are, we have to say we as Canada's national team have to have a look at other options. And I think it's a good squad of players.
I agree with you, Forrest. I think it was strategic. I think it's calculated. I like what they've done. There's a good balance between experience and youth. A bit of a transitional period. You've got a few older players that have moved on, and you've got to give them credit because they've done a hell of a job with this national team. But now it's nice to have that youth in there, those fresh blood and young faces coming into the squad. And you know, I think we're going to rely heavily on the older experienced players going into this match against Trinidad. Alfonso Davies, Kyle Lahren, Jonathan David, Nestecchio, Oso, Mikalas, Johnson, and then Tejan Buchanan. You need these guys to step up for this match because they know what's at stake. This is a massive, massive game, and the older experienced heads are going to get through this game. They're the ones that are going to lead it. Because if we don't get to the Copa America, I think we failed massively. This is a great opportunity for us to get to this big stage where, as a player, Dubs and Forrest, you guys know you want to play in these big tournaments. You want to play in the world stages. You want to test yourself against some of the biggest countries in the world. And we've got to get to this Copa America. We have to. It's a massive game for us.
I think it's a case of Mauro just saying, fuck it. Fuck it. You know what? I'm not playing politics anymore. I'm not going to appease anyone. I'm going to pick my squad. I don't know whether the job's mine or not. I think he's thinking, I'm going to do what is right for this squad right now. He kept saying on that press conference yesterday and the media availability, he kept saying how, you know, it's his, you know, responsibility to start preparing for the future, for 2026, as well as picking the best squad possible. And I think you can do both. I think he's done both.
Yeah.
Right. With respect to Steve Vittoria, who's fantastic over the years. He's old for a center half. Borean's
37, right? 37 and 36, right, respectively, those two guys.
Right.
Yeah. Do you know what? If you were a manager, so let me ask you all this. If you were in his position, would you not do what you wanted to do, knowing that you really got one shot at this, at getting this job full time? So do you play the politics, or do you go out there and say, you know what, I'm going to do what I want to do, and if I don't get the job, at least I've gone out on my terms? Would you not do the same thing?
I think it's that 100%, but I think it's less of a fuck it, and I think it's more of, this is what I need to do in order to ensure myself success as at the helm, but also to ensure that I've put together the best possible roster and team to get this over the line. I just think he's gotten to a point where it's about time. And Forrest, I was going to ask you, I think people have been clamoring for it, yourself included, for a long time, for Milan Borjan to cede that spot between the sticks and to finally give it over to Crepo. So it's his net, is it not?
Yeah, I think it is. Yeah. I mean, Milan Borjan has been brilliant with the national team. We got to, like Jimmy says, give credit to some of these players who have done a really good job. He was a big part of that qualifying for the World Cup. But does come a time when you have to look forward, and he's getting to that age where you're looking for, you know, somebody else to step up. And I think we're in really good hands. I like all the goalkeepers that have come in. I mean, you see the Montreal goalkeeper, 22-year-old Jonathan Soir.
Sirwa.
So how do you pronounce it?
Sirwa.
Sirwa.
Like you're gonna sear meat.
Yeah.
Sirwa.
How do you pronounce it?
Can I buy a vowel?
Jonathan Sirois.
Jonathan Sirois.
He's only been playing professionally for 3 years.
Jonathan Sirois.
John Sirois of the Montreal Clubfoot.
Actually, we'll get into it later, but I think Tony on Twitter said, why does my psoriasis flare up every time I listen to you guys?
He did.
I Tony,
Right. Yeah, Cavella. But in fairness, I was saying Sirois has only been around for 3 years playing professional football, right? So it's understandable why we wouldn't get his name right. But listen, Milan's 36, right? He's not necessarily over the hill. He's playing at Slavan Bratislava. There's every chance that a new manager comes in, if it's not going to be Mauro, and decides, you know what, he's still playing the highest quality football right now. He's still my man. So
what, I'm in Slovakia?
Let's have a debate, shall we? Slovakian top division football.
What, ranked
higher or compared to MLS?
30th in the World League, maybe?
Well, where's MLS?
12?
Is it that obvious?
I looked it up the other day. 14th, I thought it was. Just so you know. I did look these things up. And the Slovakian... Yeah, well, Slovakian. I didn't see on the top.
Yeah, of
20.
Course you didn't see it.
You're not going to see it. Oh, Slavia Bratislava is though a big club though. Hmm. We'll be
it's
in
a
Slovakia.
Big club for Slovakia.
Well, I think you have to look at it too. I think Milan's personality. I don't know him, but from the outside looking in, does he seem like a guy, despite all he's contributed to the program from a leadership perspective, is he a guy that's going to come in knowing he's not going to be number one? That's, I don't know if he's that guy.
Mm. That's a really good question. Really good question.
What would your gut tell you, Dubs?
No.
That's why she brought it up.
Yeah.
I tend to agree.
Yeah. But Jimmy and...
Let me answer my question.
That's right.
My own answer.
Ask the host.
Yeah. I've got a great answer.
I say no.
But that's the host though, Dubs. You get these great answers ready to go. And I'm going to frame my question so I get to look good.
I would have no problems with it. I would just like to be part of the team. If I got to the age where I was unable to be number one and be part of it and help the other lads.
Well, I was just about to ask you and Jimmy, when you guys were part of the national team, was there ever a time that you can pinpoint, or maybe not where you were coming up to a crucial matchup like this current team is and gives you a chance to play in Copa and runway to a World Cup that you're hosting? Obviously, you never lived that. But was there a time where there was a tipping point and there was a changing of the guard, as it were, in terms of the roster, where a lot of the older guys, the veterans, not yourself, got kind of not pushed aside, but new blood came into the squad?
Yeah, definitely. I remember guys like Ian Bridges, you know, Carl Valentine, Dale Mitchell, guys like that, John Catliff, Colin Miller. They all have their times, and sort of it doesn't happen quickly, you know. It just sort of one player disappears, another one disappears, you know, and it just sort of changes slowly. But there's constant change all the time, but nothing overly drastic. Just players that are older and guys that are moving in. Jimmy was the youngest at one time, and then he was the oldest.
Seemingly overnight. Yeah. Sideburns got a bit bigger.
It's the way that it goes. Like when I got into the national team, I was the youngest, I think, in the squad. And over that next few years, and you know, Mark Watson, I think, ended up stepping down from the national team. Paul Pesce-Salido, Carlo Corzine, Nick Dasovic, Forrest. You know, it was a good squad with some great older experienced players that really helped the younger guys like myself, Mark Burcham. Who else was in it? Stolle was in there. So like all these younger guys, I mean, we learned an awful lot of those older heads, and then, you know, they passed the torch on to us, and then it was our job to carry the national team.
How'd that go?
Shite.
Yeah. Went pear-shaped after that.
Two decades.
How about when you guys won? When you guys won the Gold Cup, do you remember the makeup of that roster? And was there that balance of youth and veteran leadership?
It's exactly what we had. We had the young guys were, it was myself, it was Paul Solteri, Jason Bent, Jeff Clark, I think Zalza. And then the older guys was Craig Forrest, it was Paul Pesce-Salido, Mark Watson, Paul Fenech. You know, so we had a really good balance. We had some great experienced players, but then we also had a lot of young guns that had legs, could run for days. So it was a good balance.
I found it interesting. Morrow said on more than one occasion that the hunger had slipped in the recent camps, and that's what he really felt as being you know, a reason to maybe changing the guard, so to speak. And you know, since qualifying for the World Cup and the World Cup, which we know wasn't great, the camps haven't been great, results. There's been something missing there. So I mean, do you think it was, is that telling on those that aren't there right now regarding the hunger? I don't see a guy like Milan Brojan, regardless whether you like him or not, he seems like a hungry kind of guy, a passionate kind of guy.
Yeah, I don't know anybody who's going to make a trip across the pond and come and play matches for your national team and not be hungry.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't understand that. Yeah. Like, what are you gonna do? Come out, oh yeah, I'm gonna go and fucking smoke a cigar and lay against the post.
If you could, you would though, wouldn't you?
Actually,
if there was anybody that was dressing room, it was Forrest.
If I could have a smoke on the goal line, it would be perfect, as opposed to standing on the toilet seat in the bathroom.
Did you need that? Did you need the toilet seat, Craig? Sure, you're tall enough just to lean it on.
No, he needed it.
Yeah,
I witnessed it firsthand.
To get up to the vent.
Yeah, the vent in Japan was really good.
It was the Confederation Cup at halftime. We're playing against Japan, 0-0. Forrest is standing on his head. We thought it was probably one of the best performances we ever had. And I went into the washroom. And all of a sudden I hear, hey, Jimmy. I was like, what? I'm looking around. I can't see anything. And then I look above the stalls. And the big man's on top of the toilet. He goes, watch the door. I'm like, what? He goes, watch the door. So I stand against the door. I'm pushing. I have no idea what's going on. And now all of a sudden I see him by the vent having a smoke.
And this is halftime?
Halftime.
Jesus Christ, Forrest.
And then he comes down.
We should have been 2-0. We should have been 2-0 up. I was fucking pissed off. We should have
been. He was so pissed. Then he washes his hands. And then he starts talking tactics to me, right? And I'm looking at him like, what the fuck did I just witness here? And then he's like, help me put my glove on. And then he puts a glove, and then we go for second half.
Hey, Craig.
How did that end up?
We lost in the second half, but it was probably the best, I think, 45 minutes I think I've ever witnessed the Canadian national team play. It was ridiculous. We had a good squad back then.
Craig, the smoking, was that to calm your nerves at halftime, or were you just that addicted?
Well, a bit of both.
Yeah.
Something else that Mauro talked about on that presser yesterday was a cultural reset. Like, not only that complacency had kind of snuck in since Qatar, but that with Milan moving out and Stephen Vittoria moving out, that they were going to be looking to the leadership group to sort of change that. But to that point, who do you guys think ends up with the armband long term, and who do you think gets it versus Trinidad in this really important match?
That's a really great question.
Well, yeah. I mean, who are the candidates, right? So Ozo's TFC captain, but I don't think Ozo's guaranteed to start every game for Canada. Right. I think you've got to have someone that's going to be in there in Sharpie every game, right?
Yes.
Fonzie's the best player, so naturally he'll be a candidate at least.
Yeah.
I mean, you guys tell me. I don't know. It's a great question. Is it Alistair Johnston?
Maybe he'll put it on. I mean, I've never been a big captain guy anyway, but maybe he'll put it on Alfonso. Give him that position a little bit of leadership role and see how
Gregor, had you been the captain all the time, everybody on the team would be smoking. They'd all be in there going, oh, fuck, Forces, lead by example.
Yeah. We got to get audio there. In CONCACAF.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Well, but who are the options? So Fonzie, right? And Ozo mentioned there, okay, John Davis playing great. I'm not sure whether he's a leader per se. Strikers, generally speaking, outside the truly great ones, don't always get the armband. Midfield, you got Stacchio, who is having a bit of a tough time at Porto right now, but he's going to walk into that starting midfield, I would think, every game. Kone's too young. You got Johnston, you got Richie, who's hurt right now.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Stacchio would be a bad one, actually.
Stacchio would be good.
Speaks really well. Speaks well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think Fonzie would be good too, though, give him the responsibility. You know, everybody question, oh, when he's with the national team, he doesn't play the same way that he does in Bayern. But maybe if he has that responsibility now where okay, but you're one of the best players in the world and you're going to lead this national team and you're taking the responsibility on your shoulders now. So you make sure you perform week in and week out.
I like that shout, because oftentimes what he tends to do is, yes, it's an underperformance of sorts because we don't see him reach the heights that he does with Bayern, but it's almost like he's trying to do too much. So giving him the armband might be a way for him to kind of exhale, just say, I am the guy that they're looking to, but I need to share this responsibility that I've got the armband and I've got the leadership group behind me. But on the pitch, it has to be a collective effort. It can't just be me going at it myself.
And there's cliques in that room, right? There's definite cliques, maybe given the best player with maybe the biggest personality, certainly off the pitch. The armbands brings that together, that cultural reset, like you spoke about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But with Larea not in this squad, Adekubi is also injured. What do you guys think the back line looks like? And who do you think Mauro leans on, especially in that wing back position? Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be tricky for him to navigate because you have to get that right. I mean, we saw this team. I mean, a reason for getting rid of Vittoria is you have to look to youth. The game's so fast. There was a clear lack of pace at the back. But who do you lean on? I mean, we've got Bambido, you've got Cornelius, you've got Miller. That's sort of the
Your center-halves, right? They're your, he's going three well, at the back, right? They are center halves, I would think.
Yeah, three at the back, I would think. I don't think you're really tinkering too much with your formations. But then on, like, wide, are you going to Schaffelberg, who's more offensive? Do you drop Davies down? Do you, you've got Tejon, you've got Alistair Johnston. Like, where do you think Morrow goes there? Because I think that's pretty important, like, for this game. You have to get that 11 right.
I think you got Johnston on the right, and I think you put Fonzie there, don't you? Because thankfully, your strikers this time around are all in great form. They're all playing great football at the moment, right? Mm-hmm. From obviously John David, hottest striker maybe in Europe right now. You got Ike Ogbo, who is doing brilliantly at Wednesday. You got Theo Bear, right? At Motherwell's got 11 goals.
That was a great video that you sent over, Sharms, by the way. I only got a chance to watch a little bit, but how much he loves working with video guys and the analytics and learning from other strikers that have a similar profile to him. That was really interesting.
He seems to be following the Carl Lahren pathway a little bit, right? In that he started in MLS, went to Europe, didn't really work out straight away, but then has now kind of found himself a little bit. But these guys are all playing good football right now, so maybe that allows you the liberty to drop Fonzie back to left back, where he's pretty good, right? He's not bad with a bit of a license to roam, so to speak.
Hmm. Yeah, I think so. And how about Lahren? I haven't heard a whole lot about Lahren and his club form recently, but I think it's been sort of middling success when you've got John David and Lahren paired together. I thought they looked better when they were deployed together against Jamaica. But sort of over the course of their careers, it's either been it's hit or miss.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
this is
anyone?
Yeah.
Bueller. I'm going to throw in a Wonger's mail sack. Our friend Ken Tabata, who figured out Craig's computer versus Craig's internet, he threw out Canadian Theo Blair, who plays for Motherwell in the Scottish Premiership, has 6 goals and 2 assists. This was a couple weeks ago. But check out his name. Theo is short for Theodore. Another short form of Theodore is Ted or Teddy. So his name is literally Teddy Bear. I'm just cheering. I am just cheering for Ken Tabata and Teddy Bear to do well internationally.
That you know, Dubs, fuck tactics. I like that.
Yes.
Teddy Bear.
I like that. Thanks, Ken.
Isn't it not Theodore, though? I don't mean to like debunk or like shit all over Teddy Bear because it's brilliant, but isn't it, Sharms, in that link that you sent over, isn't it Thelonious?
Is it Thelonious? Oh, I think you're right, so. Actually, now you mention it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, then
surely Theo. Theo.
So it's Theo Bear. That's no good. Ken, do your homework. Footy Prime doing conspiracy theories of his name.
I like Teddy Bear. Yeah,
but Dubs, yeah, for sure, you have Lahren and you have David up top to start the game, right? And then you have, Kone and Eustachio in the middle of the park, don't you?
I think so.
Wouldn't that be that's what you go start? With.
Yes, and I was accused of Montreal bias on Twitter. I said, take off your Montreal hat, you're biased. I said, I have a hat and it's jaunty, and I do admit my bias. But I think you have a guy like Piet who's there because he has something that nobody else can bring you if you have to close out a game. Like he gives you that deep in that midfield. Sure, he's not going to be a starter, but a lot of the noise on Twitter was people were thinking it should have been Ali Akman instead of Sam Piet. And when you're building a roster, and maybe Forrest and Jimmy, you guys can speak to this, hopefully, unlike my last question, it's not necessarily comparing player X to player Y and saying who's better. It's looking at your roster and how it's composed based on leadership versus youth, based on what you need in certain components of the game. It's not always, sometimes you make a roster, and this happened to me, where I go into the camp or go into the competition knowing full well that I'm not going to see the pitch. And that's an understanding between me and the manager, but it's also what the team needs. So with this cultural reset, a guy like Piet could be just as crucial as somebody who's starting that game because of what he brings to the dressing room.
Yeah, absolutely. Those kinds of characters and what they do in certain circumstances is absolutely what Morrow will be thinking about and what they do as professionals, what they do as a squad, how they participate, how they, you know, deal with situations like that where they're not going to start necessarily, but they're going to play a role. I think John Herdman did a great job with that, as you know, including everybody that, you know, what do we call them? Impact players as opposed to substitutes, right? And they're going to play a part somewhere down the road and be prepared for that job whenever it arises, if necessary.
Yeah, specialists, he reframed it. Yeah, we're starters and finishers instead of starters and substitutes, which is just a simple tweak. It's verbiage, it's semantics, but it does reframe it in a more positive way. It absolutely does.
And a tweak is all it takes to finish sometimes. Regarding Ali Akhmed, by the way, and I think he's.
I like him.
I thought you were going to go with another joke there.
No, that was
it. I'm waiting for it.
No, I like the, you know, people talking about him because I think he's very much part of the future of this squad, right? But he is also coming off hernia surgery. He hasn't started yet for Vancouver. He scored a great goal off the bench last week. But those of you, of course, that listen to Vancouver Whitecaps Three Questions with Craig, myself, and Ace Raymond, who, by the way, have Colin Miller on today's show. He's going to be a big part of this squad moving forward. But like you said, Piet's that specialist in that role. And if you're up 1-0 laying that one, I kind of want to see Sam come on, don't you?
Go on, Jimmy.
Get in there, Jimmy, please.
There's a big jump from MLS to international football. I like Sam Piet. I like the way that he plays. He's a clever player. His biggest issue for me is that he lacks pace. And we've seen at the next level when he's playing against top world-class competition that he loses runners. We saw it against Japan. We saw it against other countries. And when you have a midfield, you want midfielders with pace as well that don't lose these runners, that can track back. And that's the biggest problem, I think, at times with Sam Piet. There's no doubt he can play, and he's a good player. He's clever. But that's his biggest issue at times, is his pace. That's my opinion, watching him closely. Now, when you ask for a substitute coming off, you want a substitute that's going to come on and make a difference. That's your job. Make a difference when you come on. You're not there just to make up numbers. You have a role of responsibility when you come onto that pitch. You have to make a difference. And in order for that player to come on, there's a reason why you come on. Maybe you're losing a midfield battle. Maybe you got to see the game out and it's okay. Defensively, you've got to make it or make a change here. You're going to sit in front of that back four. But you have to make a difference. And at times, I think that's his biggest problem is his lack of pace and tracking runners for me at times.
Can you not make a difference, though, in insulating that back line? Sure, pace might be an issue, but, and I do have a bias, but I think watching him week in and week out, I can appreciate him. And to be fair, that whole team got carved apart by Japan, not just Sam Piet. But right. I do agree with you relative to the pace, but you can make a difference in a game. But
Estecchio wasn't playing. We had a number of players that weren't playing that should have, that would have started. There was a reason why they did start, was because we were missing players.
But sure.
There's a massive gap with Piet and Estecchio. Huge gap.
Yeah, I'm not debating that. But I'm just saying my point is really you can come into a game and have a lack of pace, but have the wily vet experience, lock a game down, see it out, and just be that player who's going to win all the knockdowns, who's going to be physical, who's just going to stand in front of that back line and ensure that the other team doesn't get in, not necessarily get in behind because you don't have the pace, but to just be more protective and to play that way, that sort of combative spirit. I think that he absolutely brings that, and you can make a difference that way.
No, there's no doubt. I'm not arguing with you about that. He does have that, you know, that competitiveness, and he's got that little bit of bite. But it's just the pace at that next level. I think he struggles a little bit. That's all.
I just don't think Trinidad and Tobago is that next level right now.
No, but they are going to be quick. And then look, if we look at that Jamaica game, the last time we got beat in the middle of the park. That was our biggest issue. They were more physical. They competed more. They were quicker than us in the middle of the park, and we lost the midfield battle. We can't afford to lose it this time. We cannot afford to lose that midfield battle in this match. And if we do, because if I'm Trinidad right now, I'm going, we are going to play so physical in this match, and we're going to close them down. We're going to play high energy, a lot of pace, because they're going to try to do what Jamaica did to us. Jamaica figured out how to beat us.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's a good point. That game at BMO where we let that 2-0 lead slip away is probably a blueprint for Trinidad coming into this contest, 100%. Is it not?
Yeah. Because what they did was they moved that center back into middle of the park, and all of a sudden he went through Asecho. He went through Fonzie. He started going through everybody, and it got to the point where it was panic mode in the middle of the park for us. And if you're Trinidad, you watch how physical they're going to play.
Yeah, we'll have to wait and see on the 23rd. Wong, did you have any more mail sacks or any more comments from Twitter?
Absolutely. The crew came out huge. But we're going to do the next question after this outbreak.
We'll be right back after these messages brought to you by Honey Nut Cheerios. Honey Nut Cheerios, they say they're good for you, but really they cause diabetes.
Unless they want to sponsor us.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
What up, Primers? It's JC, that guy. Don't miss a second of Premier League action only on FuboTV. Subscribe at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. With Serie A, League One, and One Soccer 2, you can get it all at FuboTV.com/FootyPrime. Now, back to the show.
And we're back. Yeah, there's a great one. Nick McVicker, and this is probably a question that comes along after what we were just speaking about. Are there any players you were surprised didn't get the call up? Anyone in form who was left off and why? So
who was that?
Nick McVicker at Nick McVicker on Twitter.
May peace be with you.
He's either a priest or straight out of a porno. One of the two.
He'd be a great priest, wouldn't he?
Yes.
That's a fake name. That's a fake name, Nick McVicker.
It's a great name is what it is.
Nicholas McVicker.
That's a strong name. I like that name, McVicker.
Yeah.
Or Dick McNicker.
I don't know, Dubs. Do you see anybody that surprised you that's not on that list?
I think one that people brought up, but we've already addressed, is Ali Ahmed. But there's a reason why he was, and he was, and Mora was asked about in the presser. Mm-hmm. He just said he needs to have his eye on that June window and to keep progressing and
but
get.
But do you disagree with him?
Match
like that's what Mauro said, Amy. Do you agree with him? Because he just potted. He looks great in Vancouver right now.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of their better players
off the bench.
Off the bench. He doesn't have 90 minutes under his belt. I'm sure that he's being monitored by the medical staff for Whitecaps, who've been in communication with the national team medical staff. I think it's a hernia that he's recovering from. So you don't want to fuck around with that. So they're keeping tabs on him. They're watching him. Obviously, Morrow's having a chat with them and just saying, like, listen, this is we'd like to have you, but it's just too early yet. Keep progressing and we'll see about it in June.
I'm glad I'm glad Schaffelberg got a call up as well.
Yes.
He's been rewarded for his great form, and so he should be. He's playing fantastic football right now in Nashville. Like,
did you guys get a chance to see him against Miami?
Yeah.
Two fucking bangers. One with his left foot, one with his right foot.
But still, the best performance of that match by a Canadian was our boy, Luca McNaughton. Almost breaking Messi's leg.
Did you see him in the presser?
Amazing. I like that guy's swagger. He goes, what is he saying? Essentially saying, you know, Messi's an experienced player. He knows what he's doing. It's like, you almost broke his leg. Jesus, it was bad.
And he, like all the Messi fanboys, I say fanboys, the all of the people who support Messi were going after McNaughton on socials.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I don't know if he had to shut anything down, but he was getting absolutely lambasted on socials because of that. And Messi gets his foot in, and then, yes, you have to be responsible for your follow-through, and it looked awful when you do, like, the freeze frame because he's, like, mid-calf, and Messi's leg's extended, and the cleats are right up on his leg. But, like, what are you meant to do? He's clearing the ball.
That was my point, and you answered my question,
no, I know.
I didn't know. I said, I just don't understand. He got to the ball first. It was a regular follow-through. There was nothing dangerous about that other than – the regular touching the ball first, kind of like what Craig likes. And but when did I always just remember if you got the ball first, it's fair. You're allowed to do it. And
not anymore.
When did that change and how did it change? And is that part of the culture now?
The only reason why we're talking about this is because it's Messi. Mm-hmm. If it was any other player, nothing would have been said. And if the incident was a little bit worse and Messi was out for a long period of time, I'm telling you now, the league would have came down on McNaughton big time. Mm-hmm. He would have been suspended. All hell would have broke loose because the league cannot afford to have Messi injured. And they're going to do whatever they can to protect them, to make sure that that man is playing week in and week out. He's going to the stadiums. They're selling out. I'm telling you now, any player that goes after Messi or has a bad tackle on him is in a hell of a lot of trouble.
But did you see the league crack down? I agree with you completely, Jimmy. In the Miami-Montreal game, Jordi Alba came through. I think it was Kokoro with an elbow, and the league cracked down on him. He got fined for it.
But the Minotan one, that's a prime example of where the freeze frames don't do it justice.
No.
Right? Because, and it's a problem with VAR, right, through and through. You have to take into account the speed of the play at real time. You have to. Because you can always make something look really bad when you freeze frame it and slow-mo it. Always. So and that was a prime example of that, I thought. But I just love that a CPL product is now getting exposure around the world for almost taking the leg off the greatest player to ever live. I think it's brilliant.
I got to tell you a story as well. This is one of the funniest things I've ever seen. We were playing against LA and David Beckham was playing, or no, was it Dallas? And it was Adrian Cirio lines up David Beckham and absolutely smashes him. And then looks over top of him and goes, "Welcome to MLS, bitch." Oh, no.
Respect, Adrian Cirio. That's amazing.
I wonder if Messi got the same comment.
Oh, man.
Welcome to MLS, bitch.
What was Beckham's response? Curling free kick from 30 yards out?
No. I tell you, Adrian Cirio is one of the funniest guys you'll meet. He's hilarious.
Mm-hmm. Loves motorbikes.
That's great.
Yeah.
I saw somebody else on Twitter say that if France had Schaffelberg and McNaughton in their lineup, that Messi wouldn't have a World Cup.
France can only dream, eh?
Yeah. Longer, did you have any other questions or comments?
I wanted to get in. It's something that reminded me. There are how many? My say it nicer than that, Dubs.
In your expansive sack.
Thank you. You said the amount of players from the CPL. Sirois was a CPL player, correct?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Waterman.
Joel Waterman. Yep.
CPL player. Who else? I mean, there's some good news here
for them, the
Canadian development. Yeah, Canadian development. And I just want you guys to talk about that because we mentioned that we're talking about building our own league and being competitive, and the word development always comes in there. So all of a sudden, you're getting Canadians who have come through, who are playing in North American league and then getting called up, which is probably different for Craig and Jimmy to see. So what do you guys think about how this is, even if, hey, CPL has attendance issues and fighting with its, you know, its mom, or our mom, one soccer, or the mom, one soccer. where does it stand that the actually players have been chosen?
What?
Well, I mean, the two parents were fighting is what I mean. And it's our not our mom. Well, Jimmy's mom.
Jimmy and Dubs.
Jimmy's and Dubs mom sometimes. But how do you guys feel about that?
Well, I think if we go back to the old Canadian League, you know, Vancouver 86ers, Winnipeg, North York Rockets, all these teams, you know, the league was average, but what it did was allow players to play at a level that was certainly good enough to be sometimes picked for the national team, an important league for players to be able to play in. And I think our national team benefited from that. Beforehand, you had the benefit of the North American Soccer League, and that also helped. And for the longest period of time, we didn't have a league. And even though CPL is what it is, you're still going to have these little gems that are going to come out of it once in a while and be able to participate and be part of a squad for the Canadian national team. So it's a very, very important thing. And that's part of why we talked about how important it is to have your own league for players like that to even have a second chance, a second opportunity where they've not been able to find their way anywhere else. And they would just drift out of the game.
Yeah. I think it also helps as well, you know, for those players that are in MLS clubs that are on the brink of getting into the first team, but need minutes and need games. And for them going into the CPL, it helps them get professional games under their belt. And Ciro is a prime example. He was at Montreal, ended up going to Winnipeg, played there for a while and got his minutes, got his games, went back to Montreal with some experience under his belt, and it's bring them forward. So it's great in that aspect as well.
Yeah, it's a good point. I mean, that the goalkeeper, yeah, would he be in the national team right now if he hadn't had that experience in the Canadian Premier League?
Imagine if we had that type of infrastructure for our women's players.
Could you imagine?
Imagine.
And that's exactly
what I can. I can imagine it.
Hey, by the way, did you hear that news slipped from Halifax yesterday?
Mm-hmm.
About that. Apparently, Halifax might be getting a team. There's an ad out there for what? Sporting director, I think, and something else, CEO
and
or something.
President, yeah.
And president,
they would do well. They would do well out there.
Oh. Ooh, so would Footy Prime in the pubs. We'd do great.
We're going out there. Listen, we've got the invite, right, to see Halifax.
I know, but if we took over a team.
Oh, I see.
We're talking about, I don't want to take over a team. I just want to go out for a couple pints.
Yeah, exactly. We're going to take a Winnebago out there.
We know what?
No, Jimmy, you wouldn't do any work. You would go to sleep. It would be you in that video yesterday when your mom's yelling at you.
She wanted to go to Walmart.
It was amazing.
I think that Jimmy's
mom. You wouldn't do any of the driving.
If she got like a social media account, Instagram or somewhere, she might do better than Biggie.
Oh my gosh.
Maybe.
Yeah.
We've got some Biggie updates though. If JC jumps on for a second. Oh yeah. Some big JC and I were talking about it. He's been.
We signed him on yet? We signed him on the big contract.
There's some big news for Biggie and JC. Oh, what's he doing? Oh, he's pulling him out.
He's getting Biggie. I bet you. Hey, Biggie.
Give us the latest update.
Well, Biggie, I got a message on Twitter from a guy from Access Hollywood / E News. Asking for permission to use Biggie on NBC. So essentially, NBC Universal reached out and we worked out a deal. So I don't know where that's going to go, but I mean, there's a chance that, well, at some point Biggie's going to be on some NBC affiliate or Access Hollywood. Who knows? Also, Air Bud is going to be now Air Biggie.
That's amazing, JC.
It's gonna be a very
Turner and Biggie.
It's gonna be all the movies. Yeah, Starsky and
do they pay you for this?
Biggie's too big for us.
Yeah,
but do they pay you for this, JC, or is it just like permission to use Biggie on one of their?
I can't disclose those types of information without consulting Biggie first. Biggie has his reasons.
Has Biggie changed since he became famous?
Yeah, big time. Biggie time.
Really?
It's crazy.
I noticed
Biggie time, Charlie.
There's gonna be an upgrade in his dog food now.
Well, yeah. We also have decided, JC and I were talking, we threw it out a couple of weeks ago, but Biggie's going to start choosing all the big games. He's going to be betting on the games, and we'll put a bowl of, you know, so if it's Nashville versus TFC, it'll be like a Nashville chicken hot sandwich versus
in his bowl.
And then it'll be TFC's like a shawarma, and he'll come and choose whatever he thinks. So it'll be done by food. And yeah.
When are we starting this?
Very soon.
Is it one of those kind of contract?
Biggie's negotiating with us right now. It's quite difficult. He's smarter than he looks. That it's not fair what that mullet does for him.
Were there any other questions, Wonger, before we talk about the Champions League?
The big one was just, it's funny because it seemed like at the beginning we were talking about Milan, but it was more about Milan overall. But what do you think, Craig, just about the keepers being chosen and that direction with Maxime? Basically, you're going to be the number one. And how do you feel about that for Maxime?
Well, I mean, I think it's still a competition. I think Dane St. Clair would be thinking to himself, maybe I can work my way into that position as well. I think the competition for spots is really good. And you got the, when Max is 29, St. Clair is 26.
Cirrosis. Think cirrhosis.
Think also King in French is roi or roi. So think cirrois. Roi.
So steak,
cirrois.
King in French.
There you go. He's 22.
He's 22. Like a
Patrick Roy, not Patrick Roy.
Patty Roy.
Yeah. Can be argued that Suarez had the last couple of years has been the better goalkeeper. Can't it be argued that? Suarez was great last year. Was he not, Dubs?
He was tremendous.
And very good so far this year. Let's not dismiss him as being a potential starter.
Exactly.
Who's number one? Who do you think?
Is it? Have we got a controversy, a goalkeeping controversy on our hands here? Can we start
one? No, we don't. That's Crepo. That's Crepo, isn't it? No. There's no controversy to start here. Come on.
Start one. Come on.
No. Oh, how would you say it, Charms? Controversy.
Shut up. Laboratory.
Aluminium.
Right. You're so racist.
I'm not. Actually, I think JC in a dark web the other day, it auto-corrected looky-likey to looky-limey, and I said, oh, we're just doing Brits now?
Do you know why we're called limeys? Do you know why?
Because of the rickets?
The scurvy.
The boat's over here. The scurvy was a terrible thing, so you knew the vitamin C, I would think. Is it vitamin C with scurvy? So hence the eight limes.
Yeah. And built all their houses with limestone.
Same reason.
So rickets affects scurvy by inhibiting bone mineralization, which halts the accumulation of calcified matrix and the formation of new bone.
I wouldn't mind bone calcification.
Yeah.
Neither would Tony.
No, thank you.
I'm ready to go whenever you want.
Tony hasn't seen that for a while.
You've been spoken to.
But did we have time to get a little bit to, I know, Forrest, you watched Porto yesterday, that Arsenal game.
Yeah.
Porto, speaking, right? You said Porto. Yeah. Honestly, yes. It sounded like porno. You watched Porto yesterday?
No.
Oh, yes, as a matter of fact.
Thought a bit of that, too.
You saw that guy, Dick McVicker, do really well in that game. No, we saw Eustachio because he hasn't really had a start. He had a start, I think, last month, but he's mostly been coming on as a substitute, and he comes on an extra time. But Arsenal didn't really dismantle Porto, I think, the way that we expected them to going into this game, a goal down. But Raya was brilliant for them in pens, and Arsenal were clinical.
Yeah, they were. I thought Porto put a real shift in. The game plan was excellent. They created some opportunities. I was a little bit concerned about Pep at center back. He's 41 years of age. It's absolutely incredible. I'm like, surely this guy can't run anymore. And they get the extra time, and he's still out there, and he's still up and down the pitch. Like, honestly, I cannot believe a guy at 41 can play at that level. It was actually quite incredible. I was just blown away by it because I thought he would get ripped to shreds by these young Arsenal players, but they didn't.
He's still got the most unlikable face in football.
He's a dick,
and he knows it. He's always been the pantomime villain, and he still is. In his heyday, he was a complete asshole, but a great player. But the great one guy player. You didn't want to come up against, right, in the big games.
Yeah.
Oh, the flopping, the diving, and also the elbows and the bad challenges. And he had that all, didn't he?
But that's everything that Porto did. He imbued that into the rest of the side because he did everything to thwart that high-flying Arsenal attack, and using all the dark arts and rolling around and just frustrating them. So I thought that was really two really good performances.
You see, Conceição was ripping Arteta in the press conference, saying that Arteta insulted his family post-match. Yes. And of course, Arteta's vehemently denying it. But
why would he do that?
Well, he's an emotional guy too, but I don't know why he'd do that.
Why would he bring up his family?
Have you met his family? Maybe they're assholes.
Yeah, maybe. I think he said something about his,
It's Brennan, wasn't it? Look at his face.
JC forgot his mic was on. About his mom.
Oh, was it JC?
Was that JC?
We apologize to Honey Dutch here. Yes.
Now your mic's off again.
Sorry.
I brought up Looky Limeys, but Looky Likeys. Did you guys see the likeness between the referee in that game?
Whoa! Sorry.
Oh, I think JC may have some prepared for us.
Speaking of Looky Likeys.
Trussard?
You didn't have anything that you wanted to show us, JC?
Best bits of fun you'll ever have in a night. Trust me, just do it. Just look for Looky Likeys. Brilliant. Brilliant fun. Love Looky Likeys. And Looky Likeys over there, left. No, but the little kind of subliminal are the best balls.
That's the best bit.
Looky Likeys ever. Just look for Looky Likeys.
That is crazy, isn't it?
Isn't
referee
it?
Referee and Trussard.
Wow.
It's mental. And fans actually, before the game, were saying that it was Trossard's brother who was officiating.
So who are these two people? So people, if we don't show it, who are these two people? Because we do have to show it.
Well, I just talked about it. It was the official of yesterday's Champions League match between Porto and Arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
And Leandro, how do you say his name? Yeah. Leandro Trossard.
Yeah.
For Arsenal. And they're...
Ted, we call him.
That's right. Teddy Bear.
I wonder if he was in the tunnel and he looked at the official and he went, Papa?
was that Ben Stiller movie? Was it when Ben Stiller and he thinks that he's got an illegitimate son because he looks just like him? Is there something about Mary?
Oh yeah, something about Mary. Yes,
yeah,
it was.
Yeah. It's really kind of awkward. Ooh, this is awkward, Mom. But that could be Leo Trossard. That could be him in like 15 years' time, 100%.
It's uncanny. It's ridiculous. If Forrest yesterday took a couple of pictures, they were actually having a chat coming off at halftime. And he was like looking at a mirror image as they walked off the pitch. It's like, holy shit.
Yeah. And I didn't see anything on social media. I just thought, oh my God, these guys, like, here's a perfect looky likey for us. Like, this is quite uncanny. Like how close these guys are.
It's just crazy.
They're walking off at halftime.
Not since Prince William and Diana's older security guard have been together. Have you seen something so uncanny?
Well, someone's got to do those.
Oh, no, look it up. It's crazy. Prince William, was it a security guard or James Hewitt?
That was Harry.
Was it Harry, was it? Oh, it's Harry. Okay.
Harry looks like
Harry and James Hewitt, yeah. It's kind of weird, weird how close they are, how they resemble each other.
Yeah,
nothing like Chucky Boy.
Wow. Oh my God! William looks exactly like his dad. He's going
check out Hewitt and Harry.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to look that up, and then I've been down a couple of rabbit holes on Twitter about where's Kate? Like, is she
Where's Kate?
Is she okay? My God! Some of those conspiracy theories are getting really weird.
So that one. So she had a Mother's Day picture. And she's admitted to editing it, right? Is that all it is? So what, she put a different picture of her in the frame? I haven't really followed this thing.
Yeah, well, it's clearly doctored, and now people are going bad and like done poorly. So, like, they were able to say, like, her arms around her two kids are like, she's got Michael Jordan's wingspan to be able to do that. And then it's like the different jumpers and the sweaters that they're wearing. And it's from like this appearance that they did. And then she had abdominal surgery, but no one's seen her in 3 months. And now it's getting to, it's really escalated. And obviously, it's all allegedly, but they both are having affairs, both Will and Kate. And then she maybe is pregnant, and that's what the abdominal surgery was. And it's pretty fucked.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that makes complete sense now.
Obviously, right? But I'm going to definitely look up.
By the royal family. So you can't even trust some of these sources these photos are coming from.
No. And then the one that was supposed to kind of quell all of this chatter after the doctored or the photoshopped image of she and her children was just a profile pic of her in like a car, but then like the bricks didn't match up. Like it was a really, it was like my photoshopping, which is terrible. I mean, I could have done it. So it just doesn't add up. It's very, very strange. But was there anything else that you guys wanted to get to?
No, I think we've done it.
I've got to get to work.
Yeah. A real work. Thanks, Charms. Deprioritizing Footy Prime. Thank you.
My hands right now, I showered last night and this morning, and my hands still smell like onions.
Oh.
Mm. It sticks around for a while, eh?
You know what works? When I had my little catering company and I chopped onions or garlic, is you take the steel from the knife as you're washing the knife underwater and then rub your fingers on the steel, and that kind neutralizes the smell.
That's a good little, wow, that's a good one. I was going to just hire someone to do it for me.
Or that.
Yes. Or stick them up your ass and then they'll smell different.
Oh, that's, no, my right hand does.
That's the life hack. Forest life hack. Stick something up your ass.
No matter what. It works on so many levels. I
mean, stick the onions up your ass. Stick everything up your ass.
Well, stick your fingers up your ass. Yeah. By the way, Wongo, something close to home for you, actually, isn't it, Wongo, given the last one that's for you?
My jersey's right here. I washed it.
Oh.
It's so soft right now. That. We'll have an affair that. Soon.
It's not crispy.
You know who is disgusted with you, Wonger? Starkey. Everybody. Starks, for as positive and supportive he is across the board, he was like, why, Wonger? Why did you do that?
Look, it's not my fault that I have these things in my head that need to come out. It just happens.
I actually thought that might be the moment we jumped the shark. It could have been that moment.
Wouldn't it be great? And we didn't have to do this show anymore? See each other's amazing. Ugly faces every morning?
Yeah. Show.
All right. We like the show.
All right. Well, I got to go. But Dubs, thanks for hosting. You crushed it, by the way.
Amazing work.
I mean, not really, but
like, it, honestly,
you are really good.
It's so nice to know that you are there.
Absolutely.
Prepared to cover me. Because I'm going to ask you a lot.
Oh boy. Wonger, are you doing the sponsors or do I do the sponsors?
It's up to you. Why don't you do them? You
okay.
don't get to do them often.
All right. FuboTV.com/footyprime.
Thank you.
For Liga, for One Soccer to view this crucial matchup between Canada and Trinidad and Tobago on March 23rd. They will be carrying that match. Tony Bet for all of the I can't believe I'm doing this, for all the sprinkling you want to do on various matches. And I will wrap up by saying there's also a friendly versus Mexico that has been announced. So Kevin Blue is just booking shit, right? All over the place.
Smart.
In the September window. And now I will say, now do Canada. Canada's women's in the lead up to the Olympics, all of the send-off games for them. Do that next. Waiting
awesome.
For it.
And we'll also, everyone, subscribe to Footy Prime YouTube and to the pod platform that you're listening to. We're moving up we need to get to 1,000 subscribers. We're at, this morning, 813. We've been, I think we gathered about 150 over the last couple of weeks, but we're increasing our YouTube video. So please support Footy Prime, the podcast. You can find everything else of Footy Prime, all of our fun and games and community conversations at wearefootyprime.com. And remember, three questions TFC, three questions CF Montreal, three questions Whitecaps, and MLS box to box all this week. Love y'all.
Cheers for listening.
This episode of Footy Prime has been brought to you by Fubo TV and by Tony Bett. Make sure to subscribe to Footy Prime wherever you get your podcasts and follow us on Twitter at @footy_prime and on Instagram at @footyprimeig.
And visit wearefootyprime.com and sign up for our newsletter.
And
nicely done. I'm going to go now. Okay. So yeah, bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.